Welcome back to the Date Night Podcast. My name is Pastor Chad, and I am so thrilled that you are back with us today as we continue our series on how to fight fair in marriage. It's going to be a good one. I hope you enjoy.
Now, we've talked over the last couple of weeks over a few different elements of the concept of fighting fair. So if you remember, at week one, really week two of Date Night, but week one of this little series, we talked about the core of a good fight. Then we talked about the big five, kind of the five big reasons why we tend to get in fights. We all have different things we fight over, but there are five that were the most common. And then last week, we began this discussion that I guess, in a sense, I want to kind of carry over. Because what we talked about last week was rules. Rules that can be helpful in the midst of a fight or in the midst of conflict. Now, I want you all to relax because my wife let me know that it was way too much information to digest last week. And so I decided that I will probably do that again tonight. But I did just want to acknowledge that I received her wise wisdom and I'll do my best tonight. So three kind of areas that I want to talk about in answering this question. And the question is, what if my spouse doesn't want to fight fair? What if my spouse refuses to fight fair? And so what I'm going to do to make sure we cover a broad spectrum here is I'm just going to extend the question just a little bit, and I'm going to say, what if my spouse won't change? Okay? What if my spouse won't change? Maybe it's not in the category of fighting. Maybe it's in a different category, in a different area. What do I do if my spouse won't change? That's what we're going to look at. Now, I want to say this up front. Not going to be able to cover every single thing, but I want to throw out a few ideas that I think can be really helpful, and if anything, should just lead us to some really good discussion. So here's the first thing I want to throw to you. Think about not changing your spouse, but rather influencing your spouse to change. Instead of thinking about trying to change your spouse, think about ways that you could influence your spouse to change. Here's why. Because if you go in saying, I want to change my spouse, what's happening is you're waiting for them to do something. And most of the time you're going to wait very impatiently and eventually you're going to become angry. But if you think about influencing your spouse, you're not waiting on them. In fact, you are actually putting yourself into the game. Now, when we think about this, there's a couple things we can think about. Number one, this is a trust the Lord kind of thing. Right? Because the truth is, change within an individual, healthy change within an individual comes from God. It's a spiritual matter. All right. Now you can nag your husband or your wife, you can say things over and over, but the truth is, until the Lord really gets a hold of their heart, and particularly that category in their life that they need to change, it's gonna be difficult for them to jump on board. But when the Lord, their Father God, says, hey, this is an area of weakness, this is an area you need to work on, then you're gonna begin to see change happen. So first thing you want to just do is just a baseline, is just trust the Lord. Pray about it. Pray that God would begin to show your spouse or your fiance what's going on, that they might come to their own conclusion led by the Lord, because that change is going to have a much better effect than us just constantly kind of nagging on our spouses. But the second thing we want to do is we want to be careful that we watch our responses to them. We watch our responses to them, because here's what happens. We get frustrated when there's a change that we want to see take place and it's just not happening. For some of us, it may have been a few weeks. Others of us, this may have been going on for years. And what happens is because we're frustrated, we let that out. We're constantly upset. We're constantly maybe bickering with them, or we're walking around mad and angry, maybe with a bad attitude, because we're just so sick and tired of dealing with the same thing over and over. And we just want them to change. But the truth is, if we would focus on showing a relationship with them, if we would respond to them in a way that's loving, encouraging, patient, kind, we have a better chance of engaging them in a way that they might actually want to respond. Because the truth is, when we walk around throwing, we'll just use a strong word, hissy fits, it usually doesn't help, right? It usually doesn't help. It usually just makes the situation tougher. So we want to be careful that we watch our responses. In fact, if you want to take it a step further, you could just say, hey, try to or aim to be the person that you want your spouse to be. Or if there's a specific area, aim to really excel in that area the way you hope that your spouse might one day try to excel at as well. And then finally, thinking about this kind of instead of trying to change them, but rather influence them, this is really important. You have to respect yourself. You have to respect yourself. So here's what's happened. Here's what happens sometimes. We get caught up in the world. We get caught up in things that are outside of God. We start putting ourselves or our hopes, our dreams, or even the way we feel about ourselves, and we wrap it up in other people. Sometimes we can even do that with our spouse. The way we feel about ourselves, the things we think about ourselves are wrapped up in our spouse. And listen, I want to tell you, that's a danger zone. Because you are, as a believer, you're a child of God. Chosen by God, created by God, with purpose given to you by God. And that is the only thing that you hold on to. And if you do that well, then you will not worry as much about what other people say and or think about you, not even your spouse. Now, we're not saying that what your spouse thinks of you is irrelevant, it doesn't matter, but we root ourselves in being a child of God first. We have more patience, more understanding when someone on the other side doesn't see things the way that we see them. So, ladies, for you, oftentimes what happens, okay, if you're not careful, is what you'll notice is men tend to be the ones that struggle, all right, with respect. Now, we know that, ladies, you're supposed to respect your husbands, and that's real. But very much so, we often see guys not respect their wives. We see guys be rude. We see husbands be impatient. We see them talk to you in a way. And because you didn't maybe necessarily hold your ground, okay, what happens is that carries on, and you get frustrated, and you want them to change, but there hasn't been an opportunity for that to happen. Now, watch this all come together. If you are rooted as a child of God, son or daughter, a child of God, and you know that everything in you is linked up into that, then you have the confidence to pull your husband or your wife aside and say, hey, listen, babe, that's how I said it to her. I love you so much, but I want to say this. The way you're speaking to me, it's really not helpful, and it's actually really hurtful. It's disrespectful. And so I'm going to ask if you would, when we're having a disagreement or when we're having an argument, would you mind not talking to me in that way? Do you see how that was kind, but it was firm? Because you're not worried about, is my spouse going to get mad at me? Because you're rooted in being a child, a son, or a daughter of God. But because you care about your spouse and you respect yourself, you also firmly but kindly put your foot down to say, hey, I want to see that stop. Or if you can't control the anger, maybe let's just table this conversation and let's come back in a little bit later when we've had some time to process. So deep down inside, there's a respect for yourself that if you will have that because you know who you are as a son or daughter of God, you create safe space for you to not necessarily have confrontation with your spouse, but to help your spouse identify that, hey, there's something wrong here. Now, what's interesting is I used Sarah and I as an illustration, but that's never Sarah. It's usually me. It's usually me that loses track or gets frustrated or gets busy and overwhelmed, and I end up talking to her or maybe treating her in a way that's not godly, and it's absolutely disrespectful. And Sarah's done such a great job of being patient, saying, hey, I hear you, but the way you're speaking isn't kind. The things you're doing isn't kind. Sometimes she can do it non-verbally, but most of the time it's verbally. And when I hear that, you know what I see? I see a strong woman that I go, you're right. You are a daughter of God. I don't want to do that to you. And I'm glad that something was brought to my attention, because sometimes we do things without realizing what we're doing. And so there's an element of having respect for ourselves. But there's another key here that we want to be careful of, and that is this. Sometimes we, men and women, are not affected by other people's pain, but only our own. Sometimes we are not affected by other people's pain, only our own. Here's an example. Let's say that Sarah comes to me one day. This is hypothetical and 100% true. Sarah comes to me and says, I really wish you would take out the trash. I'm going to be honest with you. I hate taking out the trash. I do. I don't know if I can say hate, but I just did. I hate taking out the trash. I'm the guy that goes, hey, 3 more inches. We got a couple more hours. Am I the only one? Okay, it's all right. We're going to deal with this babe right here, right now, in front of everyone, all right? And so we've kind of indirectly but agreed that I'll take out the trash. So I'm always buying time, right? Well, here's what happens. Sometimes, because it doesn't bother me yet, all right, I don't see how much it's bothering her. But it bothers her. Do you know why? Because she's working. She's raising the kids. She's cooking dinner. She's doing all these things. Now, I'm doing things too, but she's doing so much that when I don't do that one thing she's asked me to do to her, it is total turmoil. It feels so hurtful that I know she wants me to take it out. I know what she wants, and I still don't do it. But you know what gets me? When I walk over and I see that trash overflowing onto the ground, and I go, in my mind, I think, why didn't she take out the trash? Why didn't she take out the trash? Do you know why? Because I'm an idiot, all right? Because I wasn't paying attention. But as soon as it starts to affect me, all of a sudden I'm prone to do something. See, I wasn't affected by her pain. It only affected it when the pain started to hit me. So sometimes, guys, we first, if we're that way, we have to acknowledge that. Because you know what that is? Usually, that's just simply, and I'm just to be honest, I'm saying about myself, it's usually just immaturity in our walk with the Lord. It's usually just immaturity in our walk with the Lord. When someone else's pain doesn't affect us, it's usually us just needing to grow closer with the Lord to be more aware of what's happening around us. But if that's you on the other side, then you need to do what Sarah does sometimes and not what Sarah does the other times. Don't worry, babe, let me finish. Sometimes Sarah lets the trash overflow, so that I will know that I need to do what I had originally agreed to do. But sometimes, watch this, sometimes she bails me out. And sometimes, even though we agreed I would do it, she still takes out the trash. And every time that happens, is she being kind, considerate, compassionate? You betcha. But every time that happens, it enables me to keep making the same mistake. See how this works? So sometimes we just got to realize that, man, we got to get focused in the game. We've got to pay attention because we could be causing problems that we have no idea how detrimental they can be. Now, here's the other part of the question that came up. How do I know when to seek help? How do I know when to seek help? How do I know when we've hit some kind of impasse or this marriage is getting so out of hand? How do I know when to seek help? Now, when we say help, we're talking about a mentor, a pastor, or a licensed counselor. And let me say something. Counseling is a wonderful thing. We should not be deterred from it. We should not look at it as a sign of weakness. In fact, it's a wonderful thing. And I would encourage every couple to at some point just have a moment to sit down with a counselor so that you can talk honestly and someone can tell you when you're wrong. Because you know what? We need that sometimes in our life. Can I get an amen? Some of you are not sure about that. Listen, it's good. Sometimes it doesn't have to be a counselor, though. Maybe it could be a pastor. Maybe it could be a mentor. Maybe it could even be your table host if that relationship's developed in that way. But how do we know when we need help? Well, here's a couple of things that'll be on the screen behind me just quickly. When there's been past trauma or abuse that flares up, here's what's interesting. For guys, I learned this not too long ago. For guys, typically it's in their mid-30s that if they had some kind of trauma or emotional pain from their childhood or from early on in life, it's usually in their 30s that it starts to flare up. Okay, that's something to note, ladies, especially younger couples that are navigating through life. Very interesting thing to keep note of. But if there's a past trauma or abuse that seems to be flaring up, that would require you to probably step outside of what you know and to seek some help. The other one would be, when you feel like your marriage itself is just in a downward spiral, man, we've tried these things. We've been coming to date night. We've been asking, but we are not making any progress. It just seems like everything's going downhill. Well, that seems like a wonderful time to reach out for help. And then finally, when you feel you're deadlocked on a reoccurring issue. Now, this is something we've been indirectly addressing over the last couple weeks. What's that one thing you're constantly fighting about, you keep going back to? Well, maybe it's time to step outside of your normal bubble and get some help from some people that could see things from a different perspective, maybe a little bit of a taller perspective to help you navigate those days. Now, I wanted to say one other thing, and that is this. Is there ever a time to walk away? And I want to be careful here, but I want to be very serious here. Is there ever a time to walk away? Because the truth is, sometimes the marriage doesn't need to be saved, but someone needs to be saved from the marriage. Now, I want you to hear me clearly. Here, we will never advocate for you to get a divorce. That's just not what we do. But we will always advocate for safety. We will always advocate for safety. So when would be a time to walk away if you or your family find yourself ever in danger from a spouse? Now, that walking away may not be a permanent divorce. It could be a temporary time away where help and counseling could be sought and restoration could be found. That's why I've said we wouldn't even just throw necessarily divorce out there. But listen, we always want your safety to be number one, and especially if you have kids, because listen to me carefully. If you have kids and you have a spouse that is putting them in danger, you are responsible to step in on their behalf and to make sure that they are safe and protected. So again, you're not going to hear us push divorce. In fact, we will tell you that we don't think that word should ever be used, especially in conflict or when you're mad at each other. Well, you know what? I'm just going to leave you. We call that the D word. No, we don't use the D word. We seek God. We seek restoration. We seek healing. We pray. We do all those things. But if safety ever becomes a problem, we want you to know that we want you to get help immediately. We want to help you with that. But we want to make sure that you're always safe. Now, here's a little final thought. Because some of us are looking at it going, well, these are all good. My husband or my wife, they still have a lot of issues. Okay, you wouldn't say that out loud. You're just thinking it. And here's what I want to tell you. What we're talking about right now, these are the big things. If you don't like the way your wife makes a dinner, that doesn't qualify in anything that we just talked about, all right? That's not a change that has to happen and we got to fix this because her pain's not my pain, her dinner. No. All right? Bad habits don't fall into this category, okay? Here's something to remember. The only hero in the Bible, do you know who it was? Jesus. Jesus was the only hero in the Bible. Every other man or woman that God used, best we could tell, they were all jacked up from the floor up. Most of them wouldn't even be welcomed in leadership in any church around here. Yet they were indeed the people that God used to do unbelievable things. So when we look at that, we can be reminded that, yes, my spouse is never going to be perfect. Sure, there's going to be things that I might want to change. But when those things become big things that begin to affect the marriage, to begin to affect the direction you're going, the purpose God's called on your life, or maybe even the safety of your family, that's when change is necessary. James 3:2, just to mention this, says, indeed, we all make mistakes. No, we all make many mistakes. None of us are ever going to be perfect. But I also wanted to say that if you remember back in Genesis, God gave man the instruction, in fact, the command to do what? Do you remember? To rule. God made man ruler over everything. And so if that's the case, we should treat each other like royalty. Your wife is the queen standing or sitting next to you, and your husband is the king standing, sitting next to you. We should treat each other like royalty, but we should also behave in a way worthy of being treated like royalty. Are there going to be times we need to change? You betcha. Best thing to do, look in the mirror first. That's number one. All right, Lord, I see a lot of things. What do I need to work on? You tell me now. And then maybe, just maybe, something might come up and you go, okay, there's some change here, but let me do this right. Let me pray first, seek the Lord. Let me show them by my example. Let me love through kindness. And then let's slowly take steps for change.